Wow, can you believe we're just a few days away from ringing in the new year? I don't know about you guys, but this year flew by. I thought it would be fun for us to take a peek back at 2021 and all the amazing things that happened throughout the year here at the Virtual Assistant Studio, and also share with you a few of our New Year's resolutions that we have as a business, as a family, and some of my own personal resolutions that I'll be sharing with you guys today. Hey there, I'm Amanda, a Southern mama with big city sensibilities. I'm the girl that took a daydream and built a profitable virtual assistant business all in the middle of a global pandemic. Now, I work from home alongside some of the biggest bloggers and influencers while running a six-figure online business. I'm taking you along for the ride as we dive into business, marketing, strategy, and real life as a female entrepreneur. I'm all about simple, easy, actionable steps that get real results. This podcast is for the dreamers, the doers, and the go-getters. So let's kick imposter syndrome together and pull back the curtain on how to actually make money online. Get ready as we dig in, do the work, and tackle those big dreams I know you've been dreaming up. This is the Bold Business Podcast. Welcome back to another episode of the Bold Business Podcast. You are listening to Creating New Year's Resolutions That Stick. I don't know about you guys, but I like to think of the new year as a clean slate. I feel like it's almost that same feeling that you get when you're staring off of the cliff of a mountain into a sea of trees, and you aren't exactly sure what lies ahead, but you have this feeling of possibility that's the perfect amount of a little bit of scary and a little bit of excitement that just ignites a fire within me. Do you feel the same way? With each new year also brings the perfect time to reflect and look back on all the things that have happened over the past 12 months. And it sure has been a lot. I don't know about you guys, but it almost feels like 2020 and 2021 were just one big long year and so much has happened. And I think we can oftentimes get so caught up in the day-to-day of things that it can be so hard to see growth and change, especially in the moment. But looking back, it gives us so much perspective. And it gives us the opportunity to truly look at things with a bird's eye view and see just how all the pieces were working together to create something beautiful. Something that looked a little fuzzy when you're up close, but when you take a step back, you notice, oh my gosh, this was all meant to be. Before we dive into what my own personal New Year's resolutions are for the new year, or rather, what I'm trying to hope I manifest as goals, I wanted to take a moment and reflect on the past 12 months. It's crazy to think that in just one short year, the Virtual Assistant Studio has doubled its client roster and hired on 3 amazing team members. This past year, we got super clear on who our ideal client is, and made the very tough decision not to take on any new clients in this last quarter of the year so that we can ensure we were serving our existing clients to the very best of our ability. We also took the time to refine all of our systems and processes, and we went through all of our free resources and our branding and really just started to refine our brand and our online presence and get back to the root of what our mission is as a company. When we first started the Virtual Assistant Studio, we quickly niched down to serving bloggers and influencers, but we also have this huge chunk of our audience that are moms who aspire to work from home and still make a full-time income. And we wanted to be able to serve both of those audiences really well. And it was interesting because I feel like my team was really put to the test in my first trimester of pregnancy this year because I was so sick that I was almost forced to delegate and let go of things I had been holding on to that I probably didn't need to be doing anymore. And I'm so glad that that happened, even though it was a hard couple months, because one, the team did amazing, and I knew that they were going to do amazing, but you know how it is when it's your business and you're holding things close to the chest. Sometimes you just have that mentality of like, I'll just knock it out and do it myself. And that can sometimes be a waste of time. And that's sometimes not where your time is best well spent as a business leader. So yeah, sure, there were a few hiccups, but it wasn't anything that wasn't an easy fix or a lesson learned around communication or direction on my part. And I'm so glad we got that out of the way early on in our process, especially because when I was first pregnant, it was at the beginning of summer. So it literally could not have come at a better time, because when I finally made it out of the fog of those first 15 weeks of pregnancy, one, we were closing out the summer, starting to get ramped up as far as our client roster goes for a busy season ahead. Usually October, November is pretty jam-packed as far as client work goes, because we work with bloggers and influencers and they work with brands, and most brands save the majority of their budget for Q4, which is October, November, December, but they usually take off those last couple weeks of December. So a lot of times most of the collaborations for influencers fall within that month of November, which means there's just a lot of content to be created on our end, since we focus on content marketing for our clients. All that to be said, as soon as I was done with those first 15 weeks of pregnancy, it was almost like something snapped inside of me, and all of the creative juices that I had been storing away for the last few months literally just exploded, because all the things that I had been wanting to do and I couldn't really do had been put on hold. Literally within a month, I had launched this podcast. I was invited to be on as a guest to one of my dream podcasts, which I will definitely let you guys know when that airs in the new year. And we were able to implement a content marketing strategy for ourselves that I had been wanting to implement for a while. And it was just awesome. We also started to take a look at our onboarding process and what that really looks like when we're acquiring a new client, asking ourselves, what are some things that I can automate or delegate better? We put into action a clear content strategy to help serve our students and our aspiring students on the weekly. And we did all of that literally within like a month and a half. So I'm really proud of how much we accomplished within the business so far. To think at the beginning of this year, it was literally just me. And then at the now, 12 months later, we have a full-fledged team and a full-fledged client roster. And we have these amazing students who are able to share success stories with us, that they're now booked out. Virtual assistants is literally just such a dream. I cannot wait for the new year, because I know that this is only the tip of the iceberg, and we have some really big things in store for you guys in the new year, and I can't wait to share them with you guys.
Are you ready to ditch the 9-to-5 and start making actual money online? Do you dream about being able to have freedom in the middle of the day, set your own schedule, and never have to sacrifice time with your family? Me too, friend. Here's the thing. I used to be exactly where you are now. I went through countless courses, Facebook groups, and free online resources trying to figure out this whole online thing, until one day it all clicked. And within 4 weeks, I had built out my virtual assistant business with no social media and, get this, no website. I quit my job and I never looked back. Now I'm teaching you to do the same. If you're ready to build your very own profitable virtual assistant business so that you can make full-time income during nap time, head on over to thevirtualassistantstudio.com/course to learn more.
On a more personal note, you guys know that we will be welcoming our second baby boy at the beginning of the new year. I'm due at the beginning of March, which is, I think at the time of recording this, 12 weeks away, which is kind of crazy. Literally need to like pull some things out of the attic and start dusting things off and making sure we have, you know, onesies cleaned and hospital bags packed and all that kind of stuff. And it's going to be interesting just because obviously we have a 2-year-old at home and I'm running the business and we are transitioning him into a big boy room so that the new baby can have the nursery because it seems silly to buy another crib. Lots of change is going to be happening leading up to these next 12 weeks. It's funny because I feel like when you have your first baby, you spend so much time just oohing and aahing over all the pregnancy things and the baby things and focusing on the nursery and prepping and everything's all done and perfect and ready. And then you have the second one and I feel like we're just so focused on the first one that we're like, we'll deal with the second one when it comes out. So that's sort of been our mentality. But as it gets a little bit closer, I'm like, okay, we do need to prep a little bit for this. For me, on a personal note, looking back at 2021, I really focused on being a present mom and showing up well for my family. One of the commitments that I made to myself at the beginning of the year was to live an overall healthier lifestyle. And I'm really excited to say that I have stuck with that even throughout pregnancy, not as consistently as I would love to, but to the best of my ability. So one of the things that I started doing at the beginning of this year, which I know is like such a typical thing to do at the beginning of a year, I started getting back into working out and not necessarily lose weight or to be a specific size clothing, really just to be healthy. And I also noticed that when working from home, I obviously wasn't moving my body as much because I was sitting and I was on the laptop. Having that designated time to get my heart rate up and move my body really helped like my anxiety and my mental stress. And it was just something that I could do that was for me. And it was 20, 30 minutes a day. I use the Obey Fitness app and you just download it on your phone. I think it's $25 a month. It's a subscription. I love to rotate between the bar, the Sculpt, and the yoga classes. And it's cool because they have live classes, but then they also have the replays. And I usually just pick a replay and then I'll just air drop it to the TV or however that works. And then it just plays on the TV and then I can literally just work out in the living room or upstairs in my bedroom or whatever. And I was doing this 4 to 5 days a week before I was pregnant. And I could definitely tell a difference in just my overall health and my strength and even things like carrying Beckham around for long periods of time didn't make me feel like I was going to pass out. So that was a win. I haven't been as consistent with it being pregnant, especially that first trimester because I was so sick. I've just been trying to do it here and there. One, to prep for labor, but also to make sure that I don't lose like a lot of that muscle mass, and it's good to stay healthy while you're pregnant. So some of the weeks I do 1 or 2 workouts, some weeks I do 4 workouts, and that's okay with me in this season. And I know that once baby comes and I get cleared to do those workouts again, my goal is to be consistent like I was before, just because I genuinely like doing them. And it's one of those things where like sometimes you don't want to do it, but then after you do it, you're like, okay, I'm glad I did this. So that right there is why I continue to do it. And I want to make sure that I'm young and healthy for my babies because I have 2 boys and I need to be able to chase them around the backyard. And that's just really important to me. Another thing that I implemented this past year is I also came to the realization that work-life boundaries are 100% necessary for my family. I've been taking tiny little steps slowly throughout the year to move in the right direction to where I want myself and the business to be eventually. some of those things that we implemented were we moved over to primarily email communication with our clients. This has been huge in creating boundaries, not only for myself, but for my clients as well. I want them to have that same semblance of work-life balance. And I know it's not fair to them if I'm texting them at 9 o'clock at night, asking them a question, or vice versa, or maybe they're texting me at 7 when I am trying to do bath time and bedtime and all of that. So having a designated client inbox and designated working hours and very clear communication as to when we'll be online and what days we won't be online and all of that is something that I highly recommend. And it's much easier to do this from the beginning than to sort of go down that slippery slope of constantly texting and voice texting back and forth with clients throughout the day, and then all of a sudden moving to email communication. And it's really going to be what you're comfortable with. If you don't mind that slippery slope, then by all means, go down it. But I know for me personally, it was just a challenge to be able to juggle that line between where work stops and starts throughout the day and where home life was. And especially because I work from home, like so many of you guys do as well, I found that that was a really easy way to create some boundaries just around work hours and client communication, and also just being able to have access to me personally, because that's part of the reason that we have an entire team, is so that we can support our clients and they're not all coming to me for those day-to-day things that a team member could probably handle just as quickly, if not better, than I could in that moment anyways. Another thing that we implemented this past year in the business was we started using Slack as a team for all of our communication. And it's been amazing because you're able to create different channels. So I can have one-on-one conversations with each of my team members if it's something that's just specific to them, or we can have channels for each of our clients so that we're able to talk through things, because sometimes there are multiple people working on one client account, and that allows them to be able to communicate with each other. But it also, again, gives them that a semblance of work-life balance, because then we're not doing this like crazy text message, or we're not in like a group thread. And we're also, we have to be considerate because we work in different time zones. So I'm on the East Coast, but some of our team members and our clients are not. So using Slack has been amazing because I can send a message to somebody and then they can, if they're not logged in, they aren't getting a ping right to their phone. And then once they're up and awake and dressed and their kids are out the door or whatever, they can log on and then see the message and get to work that way. And it's been really great on that front, but also just to be able to have all communication in one place. And you can share videos and files and all that kind of good stuff. So it's been really awesome. So looking ahead at the new year, I have a pretty open mind around what I'm hoping for and what I'm hoping to accomplish. I kind of like to think of New Year's resolutions not really as resolutions, but rather as goals. And the reason that I do this is because obviously most people who have New Year's resolutions, it's pretty well known fact that they don't stick to those. And there's a lot of different factors that go into that. But I think the main reason is because they're hoping to do something that they've never done before. They wait until this coveted January 1st mark, and then they think to themselves all of a sudden that they're going to implement a new habit or start doing something that they wanted to do or cut out doing something that they don't want to be doing or whatever. Well, I think that's fine and dandy in theory. I don't think that's very realistic. So for me personally, what I like to do is look at all the different categories of my life and write down a few key things that I want to focus on in the new year. And I physically take out a piece of paper, and I recommend if you're not driving or in the middle of doing something else that you do this as well, or come back to this episode, listen to it, and then go do this exercise at some point but it's really important to actually put pen to paper. And you can make it cute and do colors and stickers and whatever, but I really just want you to do that physical exercise of actually writing it down. What I want you to write down are 5 main categories that you're going to focus on within your life, and then you can write down your goals that fall under each of those categories. And I know for myself, I keep this on my desk literally all year long. And I have like this little file thing that sits on my desk, and I'm able to just sort of slide it right in there. So it's always at the front, and I can see the different categories and then what my goals are for each of those categories. And it serves as a daily visual reminder to inspire me to take small actions to accomplish that goal. And it also helps me not to feel overwhelmed, because I always have those goals top of mind, and I can see them and I'm working towards them and I know I'm going to accomplish them. And I also love it when I look at that list and I have like 3 or 4 things already checked off and it's only March of the new year. That right there is like the best feeling. The 5 main categories that I want you to focus on are personal or self, however you want to describe it, finance, marriage, or if you're not married, you could just put relationships, business, and then family. You can obviously add in other segments if you want to get even more specific. You could do health and wellness. You could also do religion. And if you don't own your own business, you could do work life or something like that. These are just the categories that I use in my own life. Feel free, if you want to modify these or come up with your own, go right ahead. I thought I would dive into a few of my own personal goals or New Year's resolutions, however you want to describe them, for each of these categories and how I plan on making them a consistent factor within my life in the new year. So the first one that I'm going to dive into is the personal bucket. I don't have a ton of goals here, which it's funny. I feel like it used to be all about you, and then as you get older, it becomes all about everything else. But I am excited to continue my health journey after baby comes and to get back into using the Obey Fitness app and start doing some of those workout classes again. I'm also excited because that is usually right around the time when it starts to warm up here in the South. So we'll be able to get outside more and go on walks. And we live close to this small mountain. It's not like a massive mountain. Some people would probably call it a hill. And when you're hiking it, it definitely feels like a mountain. And we love to do that and go with Beckham, and we'll take him, and now I'll have a new baby to carry. So that'll be a workout in itself right there. But that's something fun that we like to do. I'm also excited to, this was on my list for last year and I did not accomplish it very well, but I'm excited to read more in the new year. My goal again is going to be to knock out at least 1 book a month. And I thought it would be fun as I knock those out to share it either on the podcast or in a blog post, just a few key takeaways in case you guys want to read that book alongside me, or maybe you're looking for a few good recommendations as well. The last thing on my personal bucket is I really, and I think I chatted about this in a previous episode, but I'm excited to join either a mastermind or some sort of an entrepreneurial group where I can get to know others in my industry that are kind of in that same phase of business as me, or maybe they're 1 or 2 steps ahead and they don't have to have the same business. It would just be really great if they also had an online business so they kind of understood the inner workings of what goes into being an online business owner. So our second bucket is finance. And just as a family, we have some really big financial goals that we've been working towards for a few years now. I think that's one of the big things that I love about our marriage, is we're always on the same page when it comes to finances. And I know that usually finances are a huge stressor. And I think we've learned a lot over the past 10 years of being together. You know, we were very silly with our money when we were younger. And I think we've come to a place where were a lot more intentional about setting a budget and sticking to it and really looking at things from a bird's eye view perspective. But I'm excited because we're going to be meeting with a financial advisor in the new year. He actually handles my parents' investments and he's a super nice guy. So I'm excited to meet with him and come up with some long-term plans. Since I run my own business, it's not as simple as pouring into like a 401k for retirement and things like that. So really looking at what all the different options are and how we can maximize what those options are with Josh. He does work for an employer, so we do have the 401k option. But obviously, there are other options out there for me running my own business and just looking at things like where we need to be investing for Beckham for the future and all that kind of good stuff. We do follow the Dave Ramsey method. We read as a couple Total Money Makeover, which I highly recommend. It's such a good book. And after reading that book, we paid off over $25,000 in debt, which is still crazy to think about. We did that in less than a year. We do still have one student loan of mine that we're working on, and we have a little bit of my SUV. We purchased it earlier this year. I had a small sedan car that I had for like, oh my gosh, almost a decade, and it had been paid off for a really long time, and we knew we wanted to get an SUV. So when we found out that we were pregnant, the craziest thing happened. This is a total side tangent. But somebody reached out to me on Facebook and they were like, we're looking for a car for our 16-year-old daughter. We would love to buy your car. And I really wasn't even planning on selling my car at that point, but they offered to pay me cash and it was well over what the car was worth. So I was like, sure, sold. And literally they messaged me at 9 a.m. and the car was gone, title signed over, out of my house by like 4 p.m. that day. It was the craziest turn of events. And then Josh and I are standing there looking at each other like, well, I guess we should go look for a new car. And so we did. We ended up buying an SUV and we love it. It was like the perfect series of events. But we have a little bit left on that to pay off. And then we will be completely debt free, which we're super excited about, except for the house. And that will give us a lot more options in terms of investing for the future as well. As far as finances go, our goal is just to pay off that little bit of debt and then focus on the future. And then our next bucket is marriage. So this is always on our list because obviously our marriage is so important. Truthfully, I probably should have put this as number one. I mean, these aren't in any specific order, but our marriage is truly the foundation for our entire life. And it's important to us that we focus on that. So we do little things like date nights and putting our phone away and trying to be intentional about spending actual quality time together and not just like sitting next to each other watching Netflix where we're not even talking. But one of the big things that we are looking forward to in the new year is going on a trip together. Back in 2020, we actually had a trip planned. We were supposed to go to Hawaii. We follow this website called Scott's Cheap Flights, and it's really cool. You can sign up. They have a free and a paid version. We had signed up, and we knew we wanted to go to Hawaii, and we're super flexible on the dates. And there was this time frame where the flights to Hawaii had dropped, and we were able to get 2 round-trip tickets to Hawaii. I think it was like $500 or $600. Like, it was not a lot of money. The hotel was going to cost way more than the flights. So we had booked that, but we booked everything and then the pandemic hit and we had to cancel everything. Luckily, we were able to get our money back and all of that, but we have yet to reschedule. So we have not taken a vacation in over 3 years at this point because we were planning on taking one then and then we didn't. And then, you know, I feel like just life happened and we never took another vacation since then. But our last vacation was when we went to Disney World as a family, and we actually went with Josh's family. It was super fun. It was over the summer, but I remember it distinctly because we had planned it perfectly for the week that we would get back from Disney. We were going to be starting our IVF medication, which meant within a month, I could possibly be pregnant with Beckham, and I was. Long story short, that was the last time we took a vacation anywhere, and it wasn't even a solo vacation. It was so we are in need of some much needed solo mom and dad time. So our plan is to take a trip at some point this year. We don't know where we're going to go, so if you have any suggestions, please let us know. I think part of the reason we haven't narrowed down where we want to go is because we want to go to so many different places that we can't choose, so we definitely need some of your recommendations. Our fourth bucket is our family bucket. We don't have a ton of goals here, honestly. We are just excited to watch Beckham grow. We're excited to see him become a big brother and welcome our new baby into our family in the new year. And I know that season is going to take up just a lot of time. It's going to be a lot of time at home and a lot of slow days, and we're excited for that. And we really just want to continue to make memories as a family with the two boys, which sounds crazy. Josh and I were actually riding in the car the other day talking, and we really just want to make their childhood as joyful and as fun as possible. And we want to teach them all the things, but we also want them to look back and think about all the fun experiences that they had. So one of the things that we'll probably do is take Beckham to the beach for the first time because he hasn't been. And then we're also planning a mountain trip for this time next year. And I'm excited because it'll be perfect timing. Beckham will be 3.5. He'll be old enough to go skiing, and then we should be able to go snow tubing as well. And I think he's going to have a lot of fun with that. He loves to be outside and to do anything that he can like roll around in the dirt in. So rolling around and in the snow should be pretty fun for him. Our last bucket is the business bucket, which of course I'm always the most excited about. Truthfully, I'm really excited about the possibility that the new year holds. Our mission at the Virtual Assistant Studio is to serve our audience to the very best of our ability. We're hoping to be able to expand our reach and to be able to serve more of you all. We are also excited to start taking on some new clients in the new year, possibly expand the team, hoping to roll out a new digital product suite. I'm excited to continue the podcast and to be able to chat with you guys weekly and to really just see where the company goes and how the industry evolves and continue to listen to you guys and what you're wanting. And I think it's going to be really fun. And I'm sure we'll have a few surprises along the way, but I have a feeling they're all going to be good surprises. Okay, so that is 2021. As a recap, and also looking ahead at 2022, I really want to encourage you all to look back at this year with some rosy-colored lenses, because even though I know life can be hard, and that's not to say that we haven't had hard seasons in our own personal life this year, we've had to say goodbye to some family members, and we've had a few other things, some health issues, stuff like that thrown our way that have been challenging. But overall, there's so much to be thankful for. And it was definitely a good year. And if you're making New Year's resolutions, I want you to take a second and reflect on all the amazing things that happened to you this year before you dive into all the things you want to happen for next year. But if you are making New Year's resolutions, feel free to share them on Instagram and tag me over at the Bold Business Podcast. I also just want to thank you guys for such an amazing 2021. I cannot wait to see what is in store for us in 2022. I have a feeling it's going to be really good.
I'm over here doing a little happy dance because you just finished another episode of the Bold Business Podcast. Is it just me, or was that filled to the brim with juicy goodness? If you're anything like me and are wanting even more business, marketing, and strategy tips coupled with real life, follow along with us over on Instagram at the Bold Business Podcast. And be sure to check out the show notes for any free resources, links mentioned, or coupon codes and more. And if you loved this episode, please do me a favor and go ahead and tap that subscribe button and leave us a review. Until next time, and remember, let's be bold together.